Ray, it's great to be with you today. I want to dive right in. How in the world did the founder of a hedge fund get into personality assessment?
Well, I had a lot of people, and they all behave differently. They all have strengths and weaknesses. And so I had the top 150 managers start with taking a Myers-Briggs test, which somebody told me about, and then I got their results. And I read the results, and I could not believe, in many cases, that people actually thought that way. And what happened as we went through this, we asked them a survey. How accurate was this in describing how they think? And 85% on a scale of 1 to 5 described it as a 4 or 5. And then that gave me insights. And I started to see then through that process that there was an understanding. There was an evolution in the way we were thinking. The understanding I'm referring to is, sometimes we would drive each other crazy. We'd be, like the big picture thinker dealing with the person pays a lot of attention to details. You know, the big picture thinker would say, why do you have so many, all those details? Can't you just see the big picture? And the detail person would say, your head's in the clouds if you don't take care of that. And the truth is, they're both right. And once we started to realize that and how they could work together to do what, compensate for one's weaknesses by having the other's strengths and realizing that all these different ways of thinking were valuable, that gave us better results. So one thing built on each other, and I realized it was like the most important thing for individuals' development and building teams.
So it sounds like it was helpful for self-awareness and also for other awareness.
Yeah, and to have a clarity of how people think. Yes.
So what happened then? You're starting to give people these assessments. You're getting a sense of what you're like, what they're like. It became a huge part of the way that you ran Bridgewater.
Right. Well, then, it's fantastic also because it becomes data. So it becomes evidence-based. We accumulated a lot of data. Then we invented other tools like the dot collector, which maybe we'll get into. But when you start to find out in an objective way what you're like, it allows just not only the building of teams, because, you start to say, I'd want one of those. Think about a team. It's just like a team. If you were team to take a mountain, who's the fast runner? Who's the strong guy who could carry this? Who's the clever strategist? What roles do you play based on those abilities? So it was, there was that. There was better understanding and appreciation. They would say, oh, you're one of those. Ah, I see, and so on. And it became evidence-based so that people could have their personal development. When we put it together with the dot collector, which is a tool getting that provides what everybody's thinking pretty much about everybody, it then gave great clarity. And I think that what happens in life is, by and large, we have a nature. We have our own nature. And we want to pursue in that path the path toward finding out what's our fit. And by knowing ourselves and then knowing how the fits work, the fits not only in terms of the job, but the fits in the relationship, that was extremely powerful.
Well, I was excited about this when we were first introduced, I think 6 years ago, because as an organizational psychologist, I've spent a lot of my career doing personality assessment. And it caught me off guard when you said, you know what? The old assessments aren't giving me everything I need. Let's build a new one. What led you to that place?
Well, we were looking at, no one of them did give me all the what I needed. So it got to the point where I had like six of them. I won't rattle off what the six were. And so I wanted to have one assessment that was also going to be able to bring it together and just give the total picture of the person. And that's when I contacted you, and I contacted Brian Little, and I contacted John Golden, three great psychometricians. And then we began the project to produce what we're so excited to be able to give for free to everybody who cares to have it.
Yeah, let's talk more about Principles U. So free comprehensive assessment to give you a sense of what you're like and what the people around you are like. You've had some interesting people go through this assessment. Talk to me a bit about that.
Well, you know, way back when I'm thinking about how do I replace myself and what's the type of person, I decided that I wanted to identify what I called a shaper. What is the magic that the person who visualize something and builds out something terrific goes from visualization to actualization of great things. So people like Bill Gates and Elon Musk and Mark Benioff, P. Diddy, Sean Combs, Reed Hastings, all of those who, and many more, Jack Dorsey and so on, those people have a demonstrated ability to go from, so I wanted to take their DNA, intellectual DNA, so to speak. So I gave them and a bunch more these profile tests, assessment basically that captures how they think, to get what that mix was for that kind of a job. And of course, it's valuable whatever job the person is in, but that's what I did. And I found that there was a pretty consistent profile. It includes Eric Yuan of Zoom and others. And there's a pretty consistent profile of that type of person in terms of being able to do those things. 0.6% of the population roughly has that. So that was that group. But I also realized that I needed not just that, that these people themselves needed other qualities from other people, otherwise they wouldn't have gotten anywhere. And so it was the ability to see how they then worked with others and to produce teams that taught me a lot. And that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear more about this shaper group. 0.6% of the population, what are the qualities that they had in common?
Well, so many, but first, a sense of adventure and the desire to have a giant impact. They would simultaneously, very, very imaginative, but a very, very practical, would spend a lot of attention on that really big picture. But let me give you an example. Elon Musk, when he let me drive his car, and he gives me the key, and he shows the details of how the trunk it works and all of that. So to go, you know, to Mars and simultaneously pay a lot of attention to that. And the one thing that was also very common of all of those is that there was no accepting of failure, and the dealing with people who were the not accepting. Less than excellence from people, being what I would say tough on people. Now, I gave Mohamed Yunus, who received the Nobel Peace Prize for inventing microfinance and having more do-good companies. He's built more social enterprise companies than anybody. He was also considered one of the five greatest entrepreneurs of our time by Fortune. I gave him the test. I gave Jeffrey Canada, who changed Harlem Children's Zone he envisioned how to take care of children in 100 square blocks of Harlem, and they all care about people. But all of them would maintain those high standards and work in a certain way where they wouldn't compromise the capabilities of people. They would find their ways of getting past that. So, and I found that this is a big issue in terms of achieving those great goals. How do you deal with people's weaknesses in order to achieve good? So those are some of the characteristics of those people. Very humble, very, very humble, interesting. Focused a lot of attention on what they don't know. These incredibly successful people would be more curious and more enthusiastically taking in the best thinking that they can, and you think, okay, well, they're brilliant and they're successful. They're successful because of what they know. It's how they acquired what they know through that voracious appetite and the open-mindedness. All of those qualities they had in common.
Well, one of the things that jumps out for me there is that these shapers are full of paradoxes, right? These traits that we think are opposites actually seem to go hand in hand in them, right? The seeing the big picture, but also focusing on the small details. The caring about the world, but being tough on individual people. I think that combination is obviously powerful.
That's
now,
it.
Ray, I'm intrigued by the fact that we can see ourselves more clearly through the principles you assessment. I'm also struck by the fact that we can see the people around us more clearly, and it can help us manage all kinds of relationships, whether we're talking about our marriage, our friendships, or our work teams. And we've worked together for a few years now, and I had a chance to look at our results, the juxtaposition of your scores and mine on the assessment. And I was stunned that you were less analytical than I am. What is going on there?
Before I answer that question, I want to just convey to the audience what you're saying. Unlike a lot of tests which just give you your results, these assessments allow you to bring in somebody else, and they will describe your relationship, what you'll encounter in your relationship with others, relationships with people you work with, or relationships with, as you say, with spouses, friends, and so on. And they're uncannily accurate in being able to do that. So it's a big deal. In our tests, it was great because we both worked together, Adam and I did, on building this. And as Adam knows, like he asked the question, he's more analytical than I am. And what you see in this profile is that I'm about 50% analytical and about 50% intuitive. So what is coming to me is I have a lot of intuitiveness. So what it balances when you look at that is it says, well, what's your approach? What's your mix? So I'm more a mix of like 50-50 intuitive and then analytical, because I personally believe, and I've experienced this, that there's the subconscious mind, that from the subconscious mind comes wonderful ideas. A lot of creativity comes up that way, but that it has to be reconciled with the analytical mind in order to go ahead and you assume it's correct. So I'm about 50-50, where Adam is very much more more the analytical in terms of the evidence-based. And we see that in our relationship, you know. We'll each push each other in that ways to get, you know, the best test.
Well, it was eye-opening for me, Ray, because we've had these moments where I want to change your mind and I bring you some evidence and you say, I don't care about the evidence because it doesn't match my intuition. And it led me to think that we can collaborate more effectively by me asking you, Ray, tell me more about where that intuition came from, and can we unpack it together?
Yeah, this is a very big thing for me. When I align evidence and logic, they have to align. So when you bring to me something that's evidence, and we then say, okay, well, that's good. That's a good challenge because it better align. But then you have to align those two things. So that's, you know, that's how you see it, the interactions, I think.
Well, I love that as an example of how seeing yourself more clearly and seeing the people around you more clearly can help resolve conflicts or help you have more productive conflicts.
So good. Because like us, when we worked together, we understood that through the tests, and then we operated with that. And, you know, there are, these are valuable. A daughter of a law of mine at a dinner gave me the test of our family. We had all of our family together, and she gave us the personality profile for five types of love. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but that's one of those in terms of the different types of love. And we took it and we understood each other better, and it helped us so much. So there are many ways of doing that. It depends what you're trying to get at.
Well, I think one of the things that people often worry about when they take an assessment like this is, could I fail? Am I going to find out that I have a bad personality, right? How do you think through that?
There's no failure. this is just like your thinking preferences, right? Nature invented everything for a purpose. So nature has given us different ways of thinking. Everything has a purpose. And so when you look at it objectively and you say, is that me? And then if it doesn't ring true, but almost always it rings very true. But if it doesn't ring true, then it raises a question to look at so that you can then examine that and find out from others, is that me? Or whatever. And then when you know yourself, you know, like, know thyself. And then when you know yourself, you can move beyond. So it's not a test. It's any more than if you were to ask you, do you prefer steak or lobster or vanilla or chocolate?
One of the things I find amusing when people go through an assessment like Principles U is they'll come out and say, you know, I think there are a couple things in here that are really wrong about me. I'm like, you answered the questions. It's your fault. If you don't like the answers, go take it again.
But it is so good to reconcile. And I've seen its impact on relationships. Whew. Personal development and relationships. And we're talking a lot about it, but it's just kind of simple. It takes you somewhere, it's free, takes you somewhere between a half an hour and 40 minutes or something to do. It's fun to do. So, go do it and see what it's like. And then if you like it, you can pass it along to other people and you could say, hey, I think this is a good description of me. Or you can ask somebody to take theirs and see how you match up. I mean, what can go wrong? We're talking about it. Just, taste it, see what it's like.
I think there's a lot that can be learned through going through the assessment. And of course, that's only the beginning, right? You have a whole suite of tools that are coming out. Talk to us a little bit about how Principles U integrates with the Dot Collector.
Well, again, I found it terrifically powerful to know what people are like and how they interact and what they think. Above all else, I wanted to have an idea meritocracy, which the goals are meaningful work and meaningful relationships through radical truthfulness and radical transparency. So allowing people to express themselves, collect data, look at everything in a data-based way with them as partners. And so one of the tools I created was a dot collector, which allows all of those things to happen. It's quite often in meetings. But it's a tool that allows people to express their thoughts and collect the data and do that. And so when it's connected with the Principles U, it has the consistency. Is that picture coming back? Is the facts that I'm seeing, do they align with what my actions? Do they align with what I'm like in terms of the profile? And it helps to foster that kind of development, personal understanding and development.
I think it's incredibly enlightening to be able to hold up that mirror, right, and say, how do other people perceive me? And am I actually expressing my personality the way that I think I am? And sometimes I'm not.
And it's a discovery process. There's no definitive truths. It's always whether the individual, when they're in, do they say, does that make sense? How do you reconcile it? Nobody's imposing this on it or have a definitive. It's like if it's not, doesn't line up, okay, what do you figure? How do you learn? Or what explains the differences? And it's that kind of evolution that has had, a key to the success. I started Bridgewater 46 years ago. And knowing what people are like and how they work well is key to meaningful work and meaningful relationships.
Well, I think having Principles U to assess yourself and then the Dot Collector to get feedback from others, it feels a little bit to me like what I miss from being an athlete, which is there's a coach there every single moment telling me how I could get better. Ray, one of the challenges that a lot of people face is then acting on that information. If you were just going to close with one tip about how to take the feedback and use it effectively, what would you share?
That knowing what you don't know and knowing what your weaknesses are is the most powerful way to achieving great success. It's the opposite of what you're taught. In most cases, people are thinking, I have to be great, and it's all in my head, and nobody has been fabulously successful that way, because nobody has it all.
Well, that's a great place to land. Ray, fun to chat with you as always. Now let's go back to Collision in Toronto.
Thank you. And thank you for your help. Thank you.